You're Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators podcast.
Welcome inside episode 268 of the Locked On Senators podcast. I'm Ross Levitan in the heart of enemy territory, downtown Toronto, alongside Brandon Piller up in Collingwood. And last night's game can only be described as one thing. It's cursed. Two potentially long-term injuries, a 7-1 score, and with 3 minutes left in the second period, the Oilers had as many goals as the Sens had shots. It was 6-0 at that point. The score ends 7-1. The Senators' record now 9-19-1, but the larger scale, it was DJ Smith's 100th game behind the Senators bench. I'm going to get Pilsy's take on that entire tenure and what's to come going forward. We also have tons of segments, including a very eerie this day in Sens history, a huge TV deal for the NHL, and more hardware for those Nodak Sens. All that and more. This is the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day. Today is Thursday, March 11th, and Pilsy, that game was cursed for sure, but was that the worst effort you've seen from these Ottawa Senators?
It's got to be. I mean, not only the worst effort I've seen from these Senators this year, but probably in this entire rebuild, and we could probably expand even further. This has got to be maybe not the worst, but one of the worst games in franchise history.
Yeah, you probably have a game or two in the early years that would compare. But then you look, and a single player's performance against the Ottawa Senators, the most a player's ever had against Ottawa in a single season, was that first year. Owen Nolan had 16 points, but now Leon Draisaitl with another 5-point performance to go along with his 6-point performance earlier in the year is 1 point behind. With 3 games left. Now, we know that's more games than teams would ever play against each other in a normal season, but that stood out to me like a sore thumb. McDavid, not far behind on this list in the same season right now. He has 13 points against Ottawa. So, when you allow the two best players to have a combined 28 points against you in 6 games, it's probably not going to look good on the scoreboard, and that's a big reason why the Senators are now 0-6, still looking for their first win against the Edmonton Oilers. But to go more micro into this game, Pilsy, it's the same problem we're seeing. When they let in one goal, things just roll from there. Twice in this game, they allowed goals in less than 2 minutes a span. So how do they stop the bleeding when things don't go their way?
Well, I think the problem with the Senators, and especially up against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, is they don't have the caliber of players to stop elite superstars, let alone the two most elite superstars in the league at the same time. So it's just a matter of honestly just getting outmatched. And the problem is most other teams can play run and gun with the Oilers. You'll let McDavid and Draisaitl get their chances, but the rest of the team, the decor and the goaltending is usually bad enough that you can trade chances with them. The Ottawa Senators did not trade any chances here.
No, they didn't get anything, and people were so excited. We didn't do a show yesterday, so we haven't reacted to the new lines, but putting together that Norris, Tkachuk, Batherson, you're like, okay, they had some great games at the start of the year together, but how much is that to ask of them to go up against McDavid and Draisaitl? They were matched up head-to-head, and I don't think Ottawa touched the puck in the offensive zone for the better part of that first period. It was complete domination at Sen Central on Twitter. I tweeted out, it's when a minor hockey team accidentally enters a tournament in that age category too high and a skill level too high. It was just men against boys, and I think it's as simple as that. Brady said it best after the game. He's pissed. He's embarrassed, and he should be. So I went back and looked up. Brady Tkachuk has now played 170 games for the Ottawa Senators, and that's impressive enough. He hasn't missed a game since November of 2018. They've won 59 of those 170 games, Pilsy. Like, at what point is enough enough here?
This has got to be it, right? Like, this has to be the last year. And especially when you're looking at a guy in Brady Tkachuk who comes from a heralded hockey family, they're not going to they're not going to take this that much longer. I mean, we saw Matthew hold out on his contract. Brady is a restricted free agent at the end of this season. So having to deal with three straight years of terrible rebuilding hockey when you're kind of the one guy that's dragging everyone into these battles, that's going to get tiresome. And I think that's going to play a role in the contract negotiations here with Brady, because he's going to want a little extra for all the damages he's had to hold on to this whole time for his NHL career.
Yeah, the core going forward, you can see a little glimmer of hope, but then there's games like this that just knock you down four or five pegs, at least emotionally. We're going to get into a full review of DJ Smith's first 100 games behind the Senators bench, behind an NHL bench as the head coach for DJ Smith. But when you get to this first period, it was 4-0 after the first. Which one of those goals to you was the backbreaker?
Well, first off, I want to say, a lot of people, you look at a game where a goalie lets in 7 goals and you say that goalie was absolutely awful. I'm not about to hear any of that crap about Matt Murray in this game. Go look at the goals. And this is what I've been saying all year. Sure, Matt Murray's numbers are terrible. They're awful. He has not played number-wise, statistically, up to the expectations of his contract. But almost all these goals you can blame on the defense, or at least you can look to one, if not both, defensemen being terribly out of position. The backbreaking goal for me here, I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ross, have you seen a nicer fake shot pass than the one that Shore did to Kara? Like that 2-on-0, I was 100% sold on Shore shooting that shot. He didn't even side glance over at Kara. Like, he was going for it, and then he slid it over. I think he even surprised him, and he put it in the back of the net. When two guys like that are making a mockery of your team, like, those are, let's be honest, those are third-line guys, really. I mean, maybe even that's being generous. Like, those are bottom six guys getting a 2-on-0 and making you look foolish. And that was only the second goal, and I was like, well, this game's over.
Yeah, like I said, that was just over 2 minutes after Darnell Nurse opened the scoring with the most Sens 2021 goal of all time. How many tipped deflections have gone off own Senators players into the back of their net? Like, credit to them for getting into shooting lanes, and good thing Austin Watson's not hurt. He took a shot right off the wrist, but so many deflections are just going off their own player and into the back of the net. For me, it was the following goal. Leon Draisaitl just made Mike Riley spin into oblivion. That was absolutely atrocious defending. And yes, you know you have this 6'4 German coming down, and he's a pretty skilled player in his own right. We've already lauded the amount of success he's had against Ottawa, but he just made that look so effortless. You have to put a stick or at least get your hands up on him to let him get past the way that he did was just frankly unacceptable. And Riley said as much after the game, taking responsibility. But, man, you'd like to see that responsibility taken before it happens.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it obviously looks bad. But, like, I'm more tipping my cap to Draisaitl on that play rather than knocking down Riley. Because Riley was staying – he was trying to stay with him. Like you said, this is a powerful, strong skating German, one of the best players in the league. And Riley's trying to stay with him. He actually stops him a little bit. Like, the puck gets caught up in Riley's skates, and it looks like it's going to bobble away, but Draisaitl's just so damn good. He corrals it and controls it, and there's not much you can do at that point. So, yes, you'd like Riley to get a stick and be able to break that up, but sometimes an amazing player is just going to make an average player look foolish, and that's what happened there.
Well, we saw that on the first goal in the second period. So it was 4-0 after the first period. Ottawa with 4 shots on goal. Edmonton with 4 goals. That's a theme throughout the first two periods, but to get a power play with 7 minutes into the period and just an unreal passing play. Nugent Hopkins finding Draisaitl backdoor for his 2nd of 3 on the night. And then again, a minute after that goal, you give up another one. At that point, it's 6-0. People are calling for Joey Decord to come in, but I believe you're on the same side as me here. You leave Matt Murray in to battle with his team. He's been pulled countless times this season. At some point, whether it's his fault or not, he's the starting goalie. He's the 7th highest paid goalie in the National Hockey League. You stand in there with your teammates. So I'm glad DJ Smith left him in.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Ross. And goalie friendly show, but like sometimes you just got to tough it out with your teammates. And there's been times where Murray's been pulled because he's been god awful. And it has been 100% his fault letting poor goals in. And you got
that arena.
Yeah, in that arena especially. Yeah. But Then there's been times where it's been, like I've said, 100% on the defense, hanging Murray out to dry, leaving him all alone there. And then sometimes you got to just say, look, this is a bad game all around. And you can't always let one guy kind of off the hook. You got to let him battle through that. And DJ Smith said it after the game when he was asked if he thought about pulling Murray. He said, sometimes you got to work through things with your teammates. And I like that because a team needs to go through the highs together, but they also got to go through the lows together. And sometimes goalies can kind of be separated from a team effort because they are sort of playing a different game, but sometimes you got to band all those people together. And it's not really fair to throw Joey into that scenario, right? Like to throw Joey into a scenario midway through a game cold, once again, up against a team where McDavid and Draisaitl are just absolutely on fire. That's not fair. So you got to make Murray work through these things. And I still have confidence in Murray. Sure, this back and forth, good game, bad game is getting tiresome, but I really do think he's going to figure things out. And for people kind of calling for his head and saying Dak should be the number one goalie already, I think is a little bit crazy. We're Dak guys on this podcast. We made that very, very clear. But at this point, I think Decord is just trying to show Smith that he's worthy of taking Hogberg's job as the official backup. Maybe we see a Hogberg get a conditioning stint in Belleville when he is healthy. I think that's the right play. And yeah, let Joey get a couple more games in here. I think maybe that'll help break up Matt Murray's good game, bad game kind of rhythm if he's got someone else that can kind of lighten the load. So I'm not blaming this on Murray at all. I think this is a learning experience for the whole team. And man, Ross, talk about a cursed game. You're getting absolutely destroyed, and then you have two possibly major injuries to add on top of that. What a rough night for these guys.
Yeah, Colin White first, then Ryan Dezingle. Neither looked good, and they look like leg. They look like knees especially, which can be long, long term. We don't have an update yet. We're recording at 10:30 a.m., so it's only 8:30 out in Edmonton where the team is. So
I'm nervous about White, Ross. I think this could be long term. Like this could be a season ending kind of injury here.
Oh, that would just be awful. A guy like Colin White who's worked so hard to get back to the form that he showed in his rookie season. He's already tied his goals of last year in 45 less games, pretty much 7-25 now. He's been rolling. So to have it come short due to injury, that's tough enough. We do have another question though. If that's the case, who moves over to center? We saw Tim Stützle do just that in the third period, 0-for-2 on faceoffs, although Brady still was taking more of them. It was Brady, Batherson, and Stützle. So let's see if that continues going forward. DJ after the game said that he doesn't want Stützle to play center, but you can see him making plays through the middle of the ice. So the hesitancy to put him there is really kind of strange to me, especially when you have a two-way winger like Brady Tkachuk who can take faceoffs, because frankly, you don't want Stützle in the faceoff circle yet. Even a guy like Sidney Crosby struggled in faceoffs at the NHL level when he came in, but Stützle has 3 wins on 11 faceoffs. So he's at like 27% right now. This isn't a situation like Josh Norris where he's just, you know, talented in that respect. So that's something exciting to look forward to. Also exciting, we're due for an above 900 save percentage for Matt Murray in the next game. He's now 11 games straight where he rotates above 900 and below 900, which, I mean, try to put sense into that. I can't make much sense of this entire game. It was cursed to the very bone. But let's break down the Senators' final goal. Of course, it comes at the 11-11 mark. Make a wish. No shutouts against this team. Evgeny Dadonov finishing off a real nice passing play.
Yeah, that was a nice passing play all around. And I mean, it's too bad they don't add third assist to goals because Josh Norris set that play up really nicely in the O zone. He passed it back to Riley. Riley with the low slap pass to Watson. And Watson, good on him, good hands in front to see Dadonov available backdoor. And he one-touch passes it right to Dadonov, who puts it in the net, his second straight game with a goal. And I don't think I've ever seen anyone look so defeated and sad and emotionless after scoring a goal in the National Hockey League than Dadonov looked there. Like I think he would have been happier if he didn't score. Like he looked disappointed that he got that one in the net.
Well, it was good to see him get a goal at least, because man, he has been streaky is what you expect from your goal scorers. He had that stretch where he was on, but he needs to show more at $5 million, and especially on the power play. He's now gone 26 straight games. So let's remember, the season's only 29 games in. He's gone 26 games without a power play point, but the Senators haven't given themselves much opportunity with the man advantage. We always talk about how there's a lack of discipline with their game, and there is. They've given up 15 power plays against in the last three games. In that stretch, they've earned five power plays. They have no goals on them, but they've only had five times with the man advantage. So I think that's something to watch for going forward. Well, they went 1-for-6 when they do get a good chance. One power play goal in the last six games for this Ottawa Senators team. That's 15 attempts with the man advantage. You frankly just can't win when you're not scoring with the man advantage, especially in that six games. They've given up seven power play goals. So 7-0, that's not great. So hopefully they fix that on Friday. We're hoping to see Joey Decord back in goal, although I mentioned could be a Matt Murray revenge game once again. But before we get into what will be DJ Smith's 101st game behind the bench, which we'll have a full preview on tomorrow's LOSP, we got to tell you about our friends at Built Bar. It's exciting to have Built Bar on board because they are growing just as rapidly as the Locked On Podcast Network. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and we are excited to bring you all 16 amazing flavors with our promo code that we'll get to. There's 8 that have chocolate nut flavors. 8 are chocolate but nut free. However, all Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're great for the health conscious guy or girl. With a Built Bar, you're losing or maintaining your weight while indulging in this delicious treat. It's a nutritional grand slam, you could say. Low in calorie, low in sugar, yet they're high in protein and they're high in fiber. Pilsy, I know you were high on the new flavors. What's running down for this week's Pilsy's pick of the day?
Well, we got something exciting. It's at builtbar.com. Their social team always seems to come up with really fun stuff, and it's March Madness time. We're gonna get March Madness this year. We missed it last year, sadly, but it's back. Everyone is a college basketball expert for the next, 5 weeks?
Until your bracket's busted in 2 days.
Yeah, or first game in, there's an upset. Yeah, but look, there's no upsets when it comes to Built Bar's brackets. And we're looking for the championship here. Because, yeah, you know, you're chomping on those Built Bars. Go to builtbar.com today, and you can have your say. Don't let the bracket, the championship winner, be a flavor where you're like, I don't even like that flavor. How did that flavor win? Well, go to builtbar.com and have your say. Today's votes, we're getting here. We're getting farther in the bracket. You got to decide between caramel brownie and cherry barcia, or lemon almond cheesecake and carrot cake with walnuts. My votes, I'm picking caramel brownie over cherry barcia. That is an all-time classic. And I'm picking carrot cake with walnuts over lemon almond cheesecake. So those two are going to move on for me. Don't take my word for it. Try all these flavors yourself and vote at builtbar.com for the championship flavor of the Built Bar Bracket 2021.
Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON20. That's LOCKEDON20. The 20 being 20. And you'll get, guess what? 20% off your first order. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off your first order. Make sure you're following along with the Locked On Senators podcast wherever you download yours, and make sure you subscribe, review. We read the reviews and we really appreciate all that engagement. And if you don't mind sharing the tweet where we put out the episode, that goes a long way as well. You can follow us on Instagram at LockedOn.Senators, on Twitter at Sen Central for up-to-the-minute news, scores, and analysis. And Pilsy, before we get to reviewing the first 100 games of DJ Smith's Senators career, the Belleville Senators were also in action. Without Logan Brown again, he tweaked his back at the morning skate before the last game, so he's missing his second consecutive game. And really, much like the Senators against Edmonton, the baby Sens were outshot tenfold, but Gus kept them in it.
This was a wild game. I don't know how many people got to catch this, seeing as it was kind of on a similar time as the Sens game. It started at 7, Sens game started at 8, but I was watching it in between intermissions and before the game, and the first period seemed all right. You know, Laval outshot them 14-10, no goals scored, so we're looking all right. But these Belleville Senators, they always seem to have one period where they just absolutely deteriorate into a debacle. And that's what happened in the second period here, Ross. Outshot 21-2. 19 shot differential in a period. And they only allowed one goal on that. Philip Gustafson, we've been harping on him. This, I think he's arrived. Like, he was playing much better than he had been recently. I thought he was playing with confidence. And another guy, we said Abrakadabramov turned into the disappearing act. Well, he looked good in this game, and he got a nice goal right off the faceoff. Logan Shaw won the faceoff. Abramov scoops in and just wires it home. So that was a good game for Abramov and Gustafson. The rest of the team, the decor, that's the piece of the puzzle here that's really missing. They're struggling, obviously, when you allow that many shots. So the Belleville Senators continue to struggle, unfortunately, here.
Is this a situation? So they lost 3-1 was the score last night. However, with COVID and the protocols, is it possible? Like last year, they went through, I believe, 19 different defensemen. I don't think it's so easy to switch things up the way the world is right now.
No, yeah, you don't really have those options, like especially in the AHL with no Brampton Beast. There's no feeder system, right? Like there's no one who, you know, maybe the decor is looking weak in Belleville, which it is, and there's a shining star in Brampton, and you say, hey, let's move him up here if he's under contract with the Sens, right? Or you can sign him to a ATO or something, right? So there's not a lot of options here. What you got is what you got, and it's even unfortunate when what you got is what you had. Logan Brown injured, Ridley Gregg gone, Olli Alsing injured, like Joey DeCord gone, like Mandalisi gone. Like this is tough for the Ottawa Senators, and I don't see it getting better anytime soon. But you know what, Ross? I actually think this is going to be a good learning experience for Troy Mann. He had some good Belleville teams. He had some success. Now let's see what he can do when kind of he has his work cut out for him here, and let's see if he can band these guys together. And we don't need a successful season, but keep the player development going and keep the energy good, because the energy is terrible in Ottawa right now. And it was amazing in Belleville the last couple of years. We cannot have both Senators teams with poor energy. Like that just dilute and stains the culture here. So something's got to figure out in Belleville.
Belleville, one win on their initial 5-game homestand. They're off until Monday, March 15th, where they'll be in Laval at a chance for revenge, and then they play their first games against the Toronto Marlies starting on March 19th. We will say the Philly franchise, 45 save performance, so it's nice to see him string back-to-back great efforts coming off his first shutout of this young AHL season. You mentioned Troy Mann. Now let's talk about the man who holds the reins up in the National Hockey League level, and we tweeted out this morning, and we're getting lots of great replies. We tweeted out this, and I'll get your response right away, Pilsy. So DJ Smith is 34, 53, and 13 through 100 games. That is 34 wins in 100 games. But what is one thing that gives you confidence that he's the right man for this job, and one thing that worries you that he isn't?
Well, first things first, I'm going to say the record does not accurately reflect the job he's done. And we knew that coming into this, right? Like nobody was expecting DJ Smith to have a winning record in the first two seasons of his NHL career with this Ottawa team. So right away, it doesn't look good there. So we'll throw that out the window. Now, what I like about DJ Smith is he's willing to adapt. Like he's not a guy like Mike Babcock who will... Like Mike Babcock, literally, like the only reason he wouldn't do things was to spite the media and fans and have like pretentious, I know better than you and you're suggesting a good idea that I didn't come up with, so I'm never going to do that. Like that's just wrong. And that's why he's not in the NHL. I think he's coaching in Saskatchewan. I mean, he's got the resume and the bank account that he probably doesn't really care, but still, right? Like you can't have that kind of mindset, especially in today's age where there's so much information and opinions being shared and all that kind of stuff. Like you have to have an open mind. So something I like about DJ Smith is he has an open mind. He's willing to look at things and tinker and change the lineups and things like that. Another thing I like about him is he really seems to be a player's coach. Like, say what you want, last night's game aside, this team puts forth a good effort most nights, right? Like, there's a lot of problems, and they can slip and they can fall, but usually you're saying at least they put up a good effort. So those are two things I really like about DJ Smith. What I don't like about him, or as you said, what worries me, is I don't think he's the guy for the job once they're out of the rebuilding stage. I don't think he quite has enough experience and the talent with the X's and O's and all these kinds of things to, once he has that proper roster to succeed, I don't know if he can bring them to that level. So I really think DJ Smith has an expiration date, and that expiration date is when this team truly is ready to contend.
I think I'm going to use Erica Branson as the example here that he is willing to learn and adjust. And Erica Branson, I know that Pierre Dorion likes what he brings, but he kind of is reminiscent of what DJ Smith brought as a player, a hard-nosed defenseman. And you know he likes that because for the first 10 games, he dressed as many of them as he could with Josh Brown, Brayden Coburn, Erica Branson, the list goes on and on. But what you can appreciate about the situation is, let's look at Erica Branson's deployment month by month. In January, he averaged over 20 minutes a game. In February, 18:35. And now through six games in March, 17:19. So as that gets pulled back, you're seeing Artem Zub appreciate his ice time because he's earning it. So you're seeing a lot of show me what you can do in a limited amount of time, and then you can jump a veteran. Whereas I don't think that's always the way to go. I think at some point you just have to throw the kids out and let them make mistakes. But once the kids show that they are, then they are getting a bit more of an opportunity. I mean, they have found a decent pair last night with standing in Riley and Zub. So that's supplanted Gabranson, used to be in that top four. Now he's sitting on the outside looking in as a 5-6 defenseman. But to me, I think that he cares much more about having defensemen earn it versus forwards. Or maybe he just sees that the forwards are that much more talented coming up, because I think he's letting them have a lot more leash, right? What you're seeing with the defense is just a bit still stuck in mud. Now, does he have the personnel to do much? Everyone's whining, and we're going to get to Willanen as well, because there's an interesting clause in his contract where he could be a UFA after this year, but is he really deserved ice time in the games that he's played? That is, I think, up for debate. But where DJ Smith is doing, I would say, exceptionally well, is as a motivator. Like you said, a guy who, despite being the 30th place team in the NHL, despite having the worst goals against in the National Hockey League, he's still getting these guys to go out and work their tail off night in and night out. Now, if this was an 82-game season, around game 60 or 70, is that going to be an issue? But we said it going into the year, this is the perfect year to have the finale of the rebuild, a 50-game, six-game slot, and then next year, it's go time. And I think there's as much, if not more, pressure on Pierre Dorion than there is on DJ Smith to get them out of this hole, because at some point, the fans are going to look and say, how many coaches have you guys gone through? Like, I know that was always a knock on Brian Murray, was being able to pick a coach because the standard was so high, because Brian Murray was such a great coach himself and he kept pulling the plug. Like, John Paddock got less than 100 games behind the Senators bench. So you look at, it's always been an issue ever since Jacques Martin to have a guy stay in Ottawa for more than 4 years. And what's the next longest term? Paul McLean? And that didn't end well, right? It ended with that press conference with the girl running in saying, oh, we love you, Paul McLean, which I think was probably the highlight of that last year. Remember, Paul McLean getting way off top. Remember when he said, I'm worried to hell of who I'm putting on the ice every day? So you're not getting that sort of attitude, I guess, for lack of a better word, from DJ Smith. He knows what the challenges are here, and he's willing to adjust, but can he adjust enough with the lack of talent that's on this team?
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's only so much he can do, and as for the decor, definitely has been the biggest problem. But you also got to consider, Dorion's not going to make a substantial long-term investment on the decor because he has ideas in mind of what this decor is going to look like when those prospects that he's put a lot of draft capital and trade capital. I mean, they traded Mark Stone, for Christ's sakes, for Erik Brännström. There's a lot of investment and capital that is waiting to graduate. So he's not about to go out and acquire top-tier defensemen for a lot of assets who signed to a long-term deal, because it just doesn't make sense. So right now, it's unfortunate, but you got to ride through this crappy decor. And like you said, it's the finale for the rebuild. Your work's cut out for you up against a Canadian division in a pandemic season. You knew the odds were stacked against you. So take the loss. You know, this is going to be another rebuilding year where you get a good draft pick. Take that pick, move on. But Yeah, you're right. The pressure is on Dorion this offseason to make all the right moves. He cannot be trading good assets, banking on veteran guys having bounce back years after the worst years of their career. You can't have that. They need to be sure things and they need to work with this roster. So that's going to be interesting to watch how that all plays out, especially once you see the expansion draft happen too, how the Sens roster is going to look. But final thing I want to say about all this is this movement of fire DJ, that's absolute crap. Like, what's the new coach going to do that's going to change anything? And do you even want a new coach coming in here and changing things? Like, this season is where it's at, and you just got to ride it through. And the last thing the Ottawa Senators are going to do is fire a guy, pay for him to not coach, and then hire a guy and pay him to coach. I can guarantee you DJ Smith is not losing his job this season.
One thing that's interesting, Ian Mendez wrote this in his Athletic piece this morning. You know, DJ Smith's the third longest tenured coach in Canada right now. Like, that, let that sink in right now. Only Travis Green and Paul Maurice have been at their posts longer than DJ Smith. That blew my mind, but you're right. And there's lots of great replies. I would implore everyone to go to Send Central on Twitter, click the thread and see, I think we're at like over 25 replies here and everyone has their own take on it. There's lots of well thought out. So thanks for everyone who replied to that. We don't have time to read them all out, but they all have similar mentalities. And that's like, he's doing the best with what he has right now. So at that point, when does the pressure turn to the GM? That's a question for another day, but maybe not so far down the road. I wonder what the betting odds are that Pierre Dorion last passed this year. I wonder if we can get that at betonline.ag. Maybe one day, because it's the one place that has you covered, the one place that we trust on the Locked On Podcast Network. Hey, the way they do things at BetOnline, you got to appreciate it. Not only are the lines always against the Senators, and yes, last night, maybe they knew what they were talking about, but you have been up if you are on the Sens money line every single game this season, just based on the sheer underdog mentality. So here's how to get your bonus at BetOnline. You go and you can sign up today for a free account. So go check out the website, betonline.ag, sign up for your free account, and then use the promo code LOCKEDON when you're making your first deposit for a 50% welcome bonus. So if you put in $200, that's $100 right into your account. Bingo, bango, bongo. Put in 100, that's 50 right there for you to free play on and turn that into real money. Now, Pilsy's parlay of the day. This is where things get interesting because, you know, he goes through waves with the parlay of the day. Would you say, Pilsy? I mean, you're getting close, and then you had the other night, the first time where you went 0-for. Can you promise that won't happen again?
Well, if you're talking, I appreciate you being generous and saying I've been in waves, because my kind of win trajectory for Pilsy's parlay of the day has more been like a bungee jump. Like, you know, you jump and you fall all the way down, and then you bounce up a little, all the way back down again, and then you bounce up a little bit again, and then you're just down. That's kind of how Pilsy's parlay of the day has been. But I made a desperate, sad attempt at my last parlay of the day, picking the worst odds I've ever picked. Two teams, absolute favorites, bet $10 to win $8. It was bad, but it did hit, Ross, though. Both those games went to overtime and one even went to shootout. So I was
a win's
sweating.
A win's a win.
Exactly. So Pilsy's parlay, I'm willing to say it's on fire with a one game, with a one parlay winning streak. So I'm getting a little crazy here. I've been doing three team parlays that hasn't worked out. I'm going four team parlays because these favorites are up against such weak teams, Ross. I just think it's going to work. So let's get crazy here. First game, New York Islanders up against the Devils. The Islanders have been on an absolute tear lately. Like, go check out their recent games. I think in their last 10 games, they've won like 7 or 8. Mind you, a bunch of those up against the Sabres, but still, they're still doing good. So they're going to beat the Devils. Hit that money line at minus 195. Then, just said it, the Sabres are god-awful. The Pittsburgh Penguins, I think, are going to jump all over them. So hit their money line at minus 201. Moving down. Now it's my two main parts, main ingredients in my parlay recipe: Boston Bruins money line over New York Rangers and Tampa Bay. Just to boost the odds a little here, we're going to go puck line Tampa Bay over the Detroit Red Wings. So in recap, hold with me here. We got four teams. New York Islanders money line, Pittsburgh Penguins money line, Boston Bruins money line, and Tampa Bay Lightning puck line. Put 10 bucks in and you're sure to win 54-27. If this four-team parlay hits, look out, betonline.ag. Pilsy's Parlay of the Day is coming for all the gold. So go for that today, Pilsy's Parlay of the Day. Let's go, four teams, woo!
Wow, four teams. You are into the action and you can be too. BetOnline.ag, because we don't want you on the sidelines anymore. We want you in the action. And don't forget the promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. It's BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. All right, Pilsy, let's get to some segments, bringing that back, because we have so many little stories around the league to discuss. And I kind of chuckle when I say little, because the NHL has signed an enormous TV deal. We don't have the exact numbers, but to the long-term growth of the National Hockey League, especially south of the 49, this is enormous. They have signed a TV deal with Disney, meaning the NHL is back on ESPN.
Yeah, this is great. I don't personally, Ross, I don't know about you. I can't think of a time of watching the NHL on ESPN. Like I didn't watch any of those games.
That was the last time NHL hockey was on ESPN. Marty St. Louis won the Hart Trophy in 2004.
Wow. Okay. So that makes sense. Yeah. And apparently the intro music is super epic. I've been hearing like people behind the scenes who have heard the music are going crazy. So that's something I'm excited for, because the golf and the football guys and March Madness, they have these epic tunes that like just bring a smile to your face when it starts. So I'm excited for that, because since the Hockey Night in Canada song kind of lost its charm when it went off CBC. So that was kind of done. So we need a new anthem.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, you're kind of throwing a wrench here at Canada, because we're still having the Hockey Night in Canada theme song. This is more for the U.S. guys.
No, I know it's still on, but it doesn't have that same charm to it, don't you think?
I don't know. Well, wherever it is, I know it's not on Sportsnet anymore, or CBC, whatever you want to call it, Rogers, but they need to fix whatever the hell intro that was last night. But that's a story for another day. But with ESPN, they have so many analysts that like know and love hockey. Like John Buchagross jumps out right away. So I'm interested to see not only the games themselves on and how awesome it'd be. I heard Gary Thorne is interested in coming back. He's been in baseball the last while, but an epic NHL voice from highlights of days gone by. But you look at what this is going to bring more of, like in studio, and like, is Stephen A. Smith going to be debating NHL on his show? Like, you got to think of like what this ripple effect is going to be through their daytime programming as well.
Yeah, I'm just trying to.
We need him between the benches. Like, instead of Pierre Maguire on NBC, let's get Stephen A. Smith between the benches.
Yeah, him doing a call of like a fight right in front of him would be hilarious. But Ross, I was giggling because I just had an image of Stephen A. Smith going, Sidney Crosby, stay off the weed. Yeah. Or just something ridiculous like that.
That guy's a certified bum.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. But I think one of the biggest things here is this is a sign of the times, right? Like classic cable sports is dying here. We got ESPN and Disney. This is like, it's all going to go on to Hulu, ESPN Plus. Like this can be streaming services for sports, which is great. That's what it should be at now. You shouldn't have to pay like $200 a month for 800 channels you don't want. And then the game you do want is blacked out on your cable. Screw that. What a waste. So I think that's a good move. And especially it's a big move. There is a big drop in revenue. NHL owners and the league are scrambling to make up some of this lost revenue. And this is a big boy stepping up to the table. And from what I heard, the rumors on Twitter is it sounds like the dollars ESPN and Disney are bringing in is near the $400 million mark. So that's a big deal.
That being said, though, Gary Bettman was quick to point out that because of escrow and all sorts of numbers that are way too big for our little brains, is the cap is going to stay flat or pretty much flat for the next 4 years, aka the perfect time to be in the part of the rebuild that the Sens are. And as the rebuild continues, younger players will step up, and the feeder system in North Dakota is doing just that. The hardware for these kids continues to shine. The NCHC handing out more individual awards, and Pilsy front and center, Shane Pinto, JBD, you know me.
You gotta love it. Pinto is the NCHC forward, and there's more, and the NCHC defensive forward of the season. Is there an award just for faceoffs? Like, can we call it the Pinto Memorial Trophy or something like that? That needs to get going here.
Well, if there was the equivalent of a Maurice Richard Trophy in the NCHC, he would have won that. So how about winning the most goals and then also being named the defensive forward? This guy is just a dual threat.
Yep. And then, hey, I didn't want to shine over JBD. JBD is the NCHC defensive defenseman of the season. That's what you love to see, because he's going to be the yang to someone's ying on the
Shafat,
left side.
Brännström, Sanderson, take your pick, man. But
exactly,
you don't think that's music to Sens fans' ears after watching the D-zone coverage last night? I think that might even be bigger than Shane Pinto. JBD is just such a mature game. You might see him step right in. Time will tell, but first things first, they've got their frozen faceoff beginning tomorrow against Miami of Ohio, and it's a single elimination tournament. So that gets going tomorrow, Friday. We're going to have a full preview of that on tomorrow's Locked On Senators. And with that, we kind of rewind the clock a little bit to before we were taking this podcast as seriously as I think maybe we should have back then, but March 11th, 2020, 1 year ago today, today in Sens history, the final pro game, any sport, in North America, pre-pandemic shutdown. It was the LA Kings and the Ottawa Senators, a blockbuster event. And LA earned their seventh win in a row. And that win passed Ottawa in the standing. So that's where things get pretty strange, eh, Pills?
Yeah, I'm going to confuse my little brain here trying to work through all of it. But the irony of LA winning that game, ending up with worse odds, but getting the second pick, ending up picking the guy I wanted, and now in retrospect, it's looking perfect that Lafreniere and Byfield, we didn't have the opportunity to draft as the Senators, and they ended up with Timmy Stützle. Like, the hockey god shined on the Sens with this, okay, this is good for you, it's bad for you. It's good for you, it's bad for you. Nope, you guys actually were the winners with winning the Jimmy Superstar sweepstakes.
Oh my God, what a wild world. The last goal of that season for the Senators was scored by Jace Howerluck, assisted by Nick Paul, and of course, Andreas Englund, which, I mean, talk about a name from the past of blue lines gone by, right? Like, seriously. So, yeah, that was a wild day. We've had a couple interviews over the span since 365 days ago that really, I think, put things into perspective. So if you want to go back to April, which, I mean, you're scrolling back almost 100 episodes now, but Gord Wilson joined us following his recovery from the coronavirus. You'll remember that the Senators came back to Canada and they had few players test positive as well as Gord Wilson. So Goody joined us, depicted the whole vibe in California before this all went down. And then at the 250-day mark, so closer, I believe, in when was it? October, Pilsy, when we had Jamie McLennan. I think it was November, actually, because it was right around the time that we had Timmy Superstar on the show.
Yeah, it's crazy that it's been a year since that happened. And just like kind of like the day the world stood still, like just like watching those videos of at like, I think it was a Utah Jazz, Oklahoma Thunder game when they're announcing like, okay, like the game's canceled, like you all got to go home. And everyone's like, what is going on? And then the video that trumps it all, though, I know we're going off topic here, but Rudy Gobert touching all those microphones after, and he's the guy that had coronavirus and is making fun of it. Like, that is just awful. Like, oh my God.
Well, and then there's the video of Mark Cuban finding out that the league was being postponed.
Yeah.
Completely mind blown there. But yeah, so it was Jamie McLennan that joined us in November. He was on the broadcast crew that called that final Sens game a year ago today. And he had a great memories of kind of the events. And I mean, as a self-proclaimed germaphobe himself, I mean, he obviously was very aware of the coronavirus, I think, before most people took it seriously. So that's a year ago today, and that's absolutely insane to think about. But when we look to the past, we like to look at the future to finish off the show, and that's where's Wally? Willanen, man, hasn't played in months, it feels like. Like, when's the last game that Christian Willanen played it?
I don't know. Does he play for the Sens? Are we still sure?
His helmet almost got in there the other night when Stützle was trying to find one that fit.
Yeah, number 24 almost got on the ice. They're so close. But yeah, with Christian Milan, and this is a tough story. And we're talking about a decor that has some struggling veterans and isn't holding up. And you got a prize prospect in Christian Milan who's been waiting for his turn to graduate, and it's here, and he's sitting on the sidelines. And yeah, Ross, there's an interesting clause to his contract that may pay. You know, you got to take a look at that when you're thinking, should we be playing him or not?
Yeah, well, February 18th was his last game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So he's now sat on the sidelines for the last 10 straight games. Got to get him back in. And if you want to keep his rights, you have to get him in often. So because he's the age that he is and he signed out of college, I don't know the exact details, but he classifies as a Group 6 free agent. What that means in layman's terms is that Willanen has to play in 19 of the final 27 games this season to stay as a restricted free agent, ultimately keeping him under team control. If he plays in less than 19 of the last 27 games, he's a UFA, and you can bet that because of the way he's been treated and being in the lineup, that he will not be back with the Ottawa Senators. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know how that's going to play out, because if he's a UFA and hasn't played, what's that? He's going to have played 25 games or something if he does play in 19 more or something. And to not be able to make the decor on this Ottawa Senators team, how many teams are going to be chomping at the bit to sign him if he becomes an unrestricted free agent, right? So I don't know if I'm too worried about that. The interesting little wrinkle here, and I was just counting, I think the only way Christian Milanen is getting close to that is if he gets a bulk of the games after the trade deadline. After the trade deadline, Ross, the Senators have 13 more games in the regular season. So he would get close, but not close enough. He's going to have to get into the mix 6 more times before that trade deadline hits. So if you're Christian Milanen, that's tough. But you know what? Maybe it's time he gets a change of scenery too, because this is a guy that's been in this system for a long time. It just hasn't seemed to work out, even though we all want it to be and we thought this would be his chance. But I would like to see Christian Milan get a new contract, even if it's a 1-year deal. Like, I'm just not ready to give up on him yet. And this is a guy, he's a UND grad. He's been in the system a long time. There's high hopes for him. I think there's still a bit of juice left to be squeezed, but are we going to see that opportunity? I don't know.
A guy who has not played enough hockey in the last 2 years. Like, he played for the U.S. team at the World Championships. Remember that? After his first full pro season, he had 31 points in 40 games in Belleville. He looked pretty good in 30 games at the NHL level, putting up 12 points and a plus player in 30 games in the 2018-19 Ottawa Senators. Like, that's impressive. But since the start of 2019, in Belleville and Ottawa combined, he's played 21 games in 2 years. So, I mean, at some point, like, what's going on? He's a -8 in 9 games. He's been a dash in every game except for one this year. So let's see him get in the lineup, hopefully as soon as Friday. We'll be back to break down what the lines look like at tomorrow's morning skate, because we're praying for good news, but we're cautiously optimistic because they did not look like good injuries to both Colin White and Ryan Dezingle last game. And then Christian Willan, and when does he get his chance back in the lineup? If you're not mixing things up after you lose 7-1 and you're playing the same team, I don't know what we're doing here. But it'll be DJ Smith's 101st game behind the bench, and hopefully the start of a better century mark than the first 100 was. But like we said, we'll break that all down tomorrow. We'll have the NCHC preview and a whole lot more. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.